It's time for Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
Morena, Phil Goff, how are you this morning?
Atamaria, Zoe, I'm good, thank you. Sun's shining through the window and the days are getting a wee bit longer and, you know, in a couple of weeks spring will be in the air. So, hey, that's something to celebrate.
Indeed. So I'd like to start today with an update on the Northern Pathway. We've spoken a lot about local desires for a walking and cycle lane across the Auckland Harbour Bridge. It was confirmed by Transport Minister Michael Wood in early June as a strategic and iconic investment. However, now it looks as though the government may be considering scrapping it and bringing forward plans for a rapid transit tunnel or a second Waitemata crossing of some kind. Can you offer any clarification to what's happening here?
Yeah, look, it's a government decision, so I don't have total clarity around it. I guess I was one of the few people that welcomed the idea that we'd have a cycleway across the harbour, because I thought longer term that had huge benefits for Auckland, for people that were commuting, for people using it recreationally, for tourists coming to the city. But it was a hell of a big price. You know, originally we thought that maybe something could be attached to the side of the Harbour Bridge, and that varied from an initial $60 million up to then about $300 million. And then the proposal for a separate bridge was $785 million. And it really, it didn't take off with the public. And I think there was a News Hub Read research poll that found that nearly 82% of people didn't support the bridge crossing. Now, governments do listen, surprisingly. They do listen, and if they think, well, we're going to spend a lot of money and most people don't support it, maybe we'd better look at whether we could spend that money better elsewhere. And unfortunately, not even the biking groups came out with much support for the standalone bridge. So the government is obviously going back to the drawing board on it. They want to encourage cycling, as we do at council. They may look at whether there is a bus service to ferry bikes across the bridge, or a ferry service across the harbour. There was a possibility at one stage, and it was an idea I promoted, that maybe the next harbour crossing could be a busway and a cycle and walkway, so that you'd combine the three together. And you know, when you look at the cost of a tunnel, maybe $15 billion, I think you could build a bridge for something cheaper than that, a second bridge. And so I think they say, well, look, this idea hasn't flown, and let's look at what alternatively we can do. As Mayor of Auckland, I'm quite keen that $785 million stay as an investment in Auckland City. So if the government make the decision not to put that money into the bridge, then I'd like to see that go into other projects, including walking and cycling around the city.
Do you know when the public will know about this decision to either do a second crossing, whatever that may look like?
I don't know the time frame for that, but I imagine that we would have some finality before the end of the year. You know, everybody likes the idea of being able to walk and cycle. Obviously, the government's testing the idea about opening up on maybe a Sunday morning or a Sunday afternoon to have two lanes of the bridge during low traffic flow periods open for walking and cycling. I think that'd be a good idea. You'd need to put some safety measures in. But we've also got to look longer term, and the question is really one of timing. Maybe ultimately there will be an investment. You can't bike and walk through a tunnel under the harbour, so you've got to try to find some alternative way of doing that. But it's a matter of timing, and this was an idea that was launched perhaps without enough preparation, and that was a little ahead of its time. You know, one day people will say, hey, that's a great concept to do, but at the moment everybody's looking at the opportunity costs and saying, look, we need money here, we need money there. Everybody that's got a bid for government money has already spent that $785 million in their own area, and that's a pretty hard situation for the government to win in.
Just on that note of timing, though, because whichever proposal ends up going through, we're not going to see the effects of, be it another bridge in a cycle lane or a tunnel, for years to come. And one of the reasons people are advocating for these projects is to mitigate the climate crisis. Auckland's climate plan, which was released in December last year, says we need to halve our city's emissions by 2030. So which project do you see as being most in line with the council's climate plan, and how much time do we really have to get these projects underway?
Well, I think the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, the report that came out last week, was just another reminder that time is not on our side, that the need to cut our carbon emissions is pressing. It's now, it's not in the future. Climate change responses are not something we can plan 10 years out. They need to start happening now. And we've indicated that in council that what we'd need to do in Auckland to reduce our carbon emissions by half by 2030, which is now only 9 years away, is cut transport sector emissions by 64%. Transport sector emissions make up about 40% of all of our emissions in Auckland. Now, that cut of 64% is a huge challenge.
Yeah, it's significant.
It's going to be difficult to achieve. It's going to be it will require a big investment, and the question is how much of that investment might come through government and their emission reduction plan, which is due out, I think, in December, and how much of it we as Aucklanders will need to put up, you know, through our rates, etc. There are a number of things that are happening that are quite transformational now. We're not sprawling like we used to sprawl. We're building up. We've got intensification of housing. That will reduce carbon emissions and make public transport better. We're pushing for mode shift from the private car to public transport. And we're investing huge sums of money. It's about $38 billion going into transport in the next decade. But even that won't be enough. So what we've set up is a group, a committee between Auckland Council and Auckland Transport, working with councillors to say what realistic plan can we put in place to make sure that we have some chance of charting that 64% reduction in carbon emissions.
Yeah, I'd like to touch a little bit on this transport emissions reference group, which has just been developed. You did mention the 64% fall that needs to happen in transport emissions by 2031, which is significant. What decisions is this group going to make sure we stay on track for this large reduction rate?
Well, essentially, it will involve a transformational change. One transformation will be carbon-emitting vehicles into electric vehicles, and, you know, the government fee bait is actually produced a huge spike in the number of people purchasing electric cars, to the extent that it's I'm trying to get a replacement car for my electric car, and it's a long queue. That's one part of it, but that by itself won't be enough. What we're going to have to do is get mode change, and people, as in any other big city around the world, starting to look at how they can use buses, how they can use light rail, how they can use trains, how they can use ferries. So we need a huge promotion for that transformational change, which means that we've got to keep investing in the things that we're putting huge sums of money into now, and we need to actually invest more. And I know that there'll be some public pushback on this. People say, but the cost, how the hell can we afford the cost? Well, the fact is that we're going to have to pay that cost sooner or later, because you can't keep lifting the climate of the world in the way that we're seeing, with the dramatic impacts on sea level, on wildfires, on flooding, on extreme weather conditions, etc. And my argument to the public of Auckland, I guess, will be I'd rather invest now, even at some cost now, to prevent the economic and environmental disasters that are going to happen if we don't do this, than letting those disasters happen and then have to pay the cost anyway. So I think it will involve a major change in mindset for Aucklanders and in New Zealanders, that we have to look at ways that we can reduce kilometres travelled by private car. We've got to keep pushing the public transport improvements and accessibility and regularity and reliability. We've got to keep pushing for things like cycleways and walkways, which we were talking about before, because while those numbers are relatively small now, they are growing, and they will get better and better and bigger, and they will get bigger with intensification of housing when we're all living more closely together.
The plans, especially laid out in the Auckland Climate Plan, they're ambitious and necessary. One of the things that it cites as important is the decarbonising of public transport. Is there a timeline for this leading up to 2031?
Yeah, and we've brought it right forward. In 2017, I was invited by Bloomberg to go to Paris and speak at a conference there. I went, and Auckland was one of 13 cities that committed to not purchasing any more carbon-emitting public transport, you know, buses or trains, after 2025. Well, actually, we've brought that forward by 4 years, and as of the 1st of July this year, we will no longer be purchasing diesel or petrol buses, and we will move forward the electrification of our fleet. You can already see that, you know, the Puanui to the airport route is totally electric. Waiheke is almost totally electric. Queen Street, the CityLink buses are electric. We need to bring that forward. So that's a big commitment that we can make. And we've got to do the same thing with the council car fleet. We've got to reduce the size of the fleet, and we've got to increasingly, you know, new purchases wherever possible need to be either electric or hybrid.
Mm. Just quickly, because we are running out of time, the government announced last week regarding COVID-19 that it may take just one community case of the Delta variant for the country to move into another alert level 4 lockdown, and ask New Zealanders to expect and prepare for another lockdown. How is the council planning to mitigate the effects of a lockdown on Auckland?
Yeah, well, look, I think, you know, you've just got to look across the Tasman, nearly 500 new cases in New South Wales. We've had better protection, we've responded more quickly and more effectively than New South Wales and New Zealand to stop the spread when it's happened. But you've got to say that it is almost inevitable that we will have some further incursions, and it's likely to be the Delta strain. So the Minister has said, and quite correctly, it may be that if we get a strain like that, we have to move very quickly to level 4. It won't be a matter of saying next week, it'll be a matter of saying tomorrow. And level 4, probably people have forgotten what level 4 means, but level 4 indicates that, you know, you basically stay at home in your bubble, you can only walk in your local area, travel severely restricted, all gatherings are cancelled, all public venues will be closed, businesses are closed apart from essential services like supermarkets and petrol stations, schools and that are closed. Mm. So we will be ready to do that, and council will, as we did last time, immediately move to close the public facilities that, you know, normally people are there to enjoy.
Is there a plan to support small businesses in the event of another lockdown in Auckland?
Well, that has come through a wage subsidy in the past, and I think quite effectively so from the government. It's something that's totally outside the scope or the financial capability of council. But for any length of time, that lockdown would generally, I think, attract a wage subsidy. And last time it was based on, I think, if you had a 30% business loss and it was over a period of a week or more, pretty much I think we'd be looking at the same thing. That's incredibly expensive, but what it meant for New Zealand and for Auckland is that we have recovered economically really quickly, and the sharp crackdown on the spread of the virus means that, you know, New Zealand has done better than any other OECD country in recovering economically, as well as having probably the safest regime in the world, where pretty much we go about our day-to-day business as normal. Our health services weren't overwhelmed. People didn't die. So all of those things we've done incredibly well, and we've got to be ready to do that again. And please, my message to everybody out there today, don't forget to do the thing like the things like scanning in. If you've got a cold, check it out. Stay at home if you're not feeling well. Self-isolate. Get tested. All of those things are really important, because it's not just what government or council does, it's what each of us do as individuals that make this work or mean that it won't work.
All right, well, thank you very much for your time today, Mayor Phil Goff. We'll talk to you again next week. Thank you very much.
Ka kite.
Ka kite.
That was Sounding Off with Phil Goff. And